Well, it's so good to be here with you. And the Lord is with us this morning, and he has some things in mind, but I bring you greetings from the board at Life International, and from the staff, and from our partners in 150 nations around the globe. Did you know that you are partners with 150 nations around the globe? That's an amazing thing. We serve a God of the nations, and he loves every people group, every clan, every tribe, every family, all over the world. I love that, don't you? An amazing God who does that. So today, what I'd like to do, some of you don't know much about Life International, so I'm going to take a few minutes and talk about that. I feel at home here with you. Every time I come, it's family time, and I think it's because of the long relationship, and Pastor Mark and I go way back, so I've decided to listen to the Father, and what would he have me say to you this morning? And so I'm going to take some time this morning and bring you a word from Scripture that he put in my heart for you. So I'm not going to talk about Life International the whole time. And then I'll close with a story, an amazing story of salvation from another part of the world. That story is something that's just similar to the stories that happened this week at camp. So many came to know Jesus this week at camp. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, I thought I was in hee-haw a little bit this morning here. So I thought, what is my hee-haw preaching outfit look like? And I should go home and change. I think it was so fun. Did you notice that one of those songs was written in 1932? And they've been doing that hee-haw music since then. It's pretty fun that we can celebrate the Lord that way. So, the Lord is so good when he brings us to him. And so this morning I want to share a passage that is on my heart for you. You know, when you do international work, time doesn't mean anything. Uh-oh, everybody's going, uh-oh. So you have families, you have children, and all the everything else that we have. We're time. We have to be a little bit careful about that. But I'm praying that this all happens within the time frame that we have this morning together, because God has so much for you this morning. Do you believe that? That's the kind of God that we serve. And for everybody online, you're coming into this room with us right here. And so you are welcome. You're part of that this morning. Whatever God has in mind here. So all of you online, just know that God is with you and he has something for you this morning. So let me open in prayer here. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we gather in your name for your purposes and for your glory this morning. You are worthy of all of our attention, all of our mind, and all of our heart. We come before you anticipating hearing from you, being with you, and being changed. Yeah, being changed from when we entered this room to when we exit will be different. Come, Holy Spirit, and guide us through this precious time together. We are desperate for you and you alone. What this world has to offer is empty. You bring life. You are the one that we seek. Come and meet with us this morning and guide us through this short period that we have together. We love you so much. Thank you for loving us first. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for those of you who may not know very much about Life International, we have been working in ministry in what we call the global mission field created by abortion for the past 22 years. What that means is, specifically, we work in nations with leadership so that they would fall in love with the heart of the Father for life, that they would know the Father's heart for life itself, that they would understand what he has in mind when he values human life. And then as leaders, they would actually live that out. They would teach that. They would help ministries to develop that would help value human life wherever it's being devalued around the world. Abortion is something that attacks the most innocent among us, the preborn person. I call them persons, by the way. They are fully human, made in the image of God. They are people, and they are the most hidden people group on earth. They're in their mom's wombs. They are the most persecuted people group on earth, and I'll talk about that in a video I'd like to show you in just a moment. It's a mission field. When we reach that people group, the preborn people group, we reach their moms and we reach their family systems for the kingdom. Because the ultimate goal here is to introduce people to Jesus Christ all over the world. And so we do not separate the sanctity of human life from the gospel. At Life International, they're actually inseparable. You cannot separate those two. If you value a human life, the most treasured thing you could possibly do is introduce them to Jesus Christ, the giver of life. And that's what we stand for at Life International. That's what you're part of. Many of you pray for us as we go into the world and we bring this message. I'll just let you know that many are coming to Jesus Christ every single day. Babies are given life. Marriages are being healed. And on goes this life-giving work in all of its expressions all over the globe. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being part of this work. And so this morning, what I'd like to do is invite you into prayer for Life International. And I'm going to show you a video, and it's going to talk about an event, a gathering that God has put on our heart to bring the world together to hear from the Father his heart for life. And we're doing that this fall. And we desperately need your prayers because it will be a miracle if this happens. Now, I said if. It's going to happen. Need to walk in faith here. It's going to happen, right, Pastor Mark? It's going to happen. And we just need all of your prayers. This is a gathering we believe the Father is calling us to do. He wants to meet with us. And so we're asking for 198 nations to be present. Those are all nations recognized by the UN as sovereignties. And of course, there are more people groups and more clans and tribes than that. But we are asking the Father to open the door for 198 nations to be present with us in Malta. That'll be a miracle. That's miracle number one. We even have connections in North Korea right now, which is amazing. Keep that quiet. So we know the Father is able to do this. And if you're willing to join in prayer, there's material out there that you can find by the coffee and talk with Fran and she'll give you more information. Those of you online, you can go to Life International, www.lifeinternational.com, and find out more information. But you won't find this event online because we're kind of under the radar with this. And we want to see every nation present. And there are some nations that are more at risk. So we have them coming now. And so pray for safety. Pray for ways to connect them. Pray for visa processes to occur that will not hinder them from coming. Now, this is the first time this kind of thing has ever occurred. And they're all coming for one purpose, to hear from the Father, his heart for life. And then from there, commissioned to go into the world, into their nations, with the message of the gospel and life. Unleashing a movement of life around this globe where we're seeing this massive tsunami of death trying to engulf the globe. We're this little dinky ministry in Grand Rapids saying, no, we're going to stand for life and press back and bring the message of life to every nation on earth. You want to be part of that? Join us in prayer, and the Father will work powerfully. I believe when God's people come together in prayer, he works in amazing ways. And you can be part of this through doing that. So thank you for considering that. And so now, shifting our thoughts from this incredible gathering that the Father is calling together to this gathering here this morning. What does God have in mind for us today? Right here in this room. All of you online are in this room as well, as I mentioned earlier. You have come into this room together for a reason. There's no mistake here. Is there ever a mistake with our Father? That's the kind of God he is. He pays attention to details, to the details of our lives. At Life International, what the Lord has told me and what our staff is learning continually is that very simple skill of paying attention to the details of the lives that he brings into our lives every day. Do we pay attention to the details of those around us, those we work with, those we meet on the highway, those at stoplights? Do we pay attention to these lives? Because every human life is made in the image of God himself. Doesn't that, by itself, elevate the value of every human person that you know? Do we really believe that? How do we practice that? How do we put that into practice even this morning right here in this room? God's at work here. He's working this thought in my life right now as I'm talking to you. Let's take a moment and consider something maybe we weren't thinking about when we came in this morning. What has this morning been like for the person next to you already? Have you thought about that? Or someone behind you? Or someone in front of you? What are they dealing with? What's going on in their life? I'm one of these individuals, I get immensely intrigued by another person. These are the questions that come to me. What's going on in their life anyway? And does our Heavenly Father care about that? What kind of challenges are present right now in a gathering this size? Just think about that. The challenges that we carry with us. Let me just try to walk us through what might be in this room right now, present with us right now. There are relational issues here in this room. I didn't hear any amens because you don't know if you should say amen to that or not, but there is some relational stuff going on here this morning in this room, right? At home and families, at work, with neighbors, maybe even between people in this room. We all carry relational stuff, and that is probably one of the most draining things in our lives. It tends to be life-taking and not life-giving. I see some heads nodding. This is going on right now. Just think about it for a moment. In this room right now, that's going on. There are health issues in this room. Some are minor, temporary, very short-lived. Others are life-altering, life-threatening, very long-term and acute. Health issues can be so exhausting. That's going on in this room as well this morning. Financial issues. Anybody have those? Tends to impact all of us, doesn't it? In one way or another. You know, it's amazing to me. I have friends. It's just amazing to me to watch them because they can make money when there is money to be made, and they make money when there's no money to be made. Can you ever, I mean, that's what banks do all the time, by the way. But somehow some of my friends have figured out how to do that. So when everybody is losing their shirts, they're making a ton of money. Go figure. Finances. I mean, it's hard to figure that world out for me personally. But some of us this morning are experiencing anxiety about this and stress because there's so much financial pressure in our life. We live in a time of actual financial uncertainty. We just don't know the future here. And then to add to these things this morning that we bring into this room, it's all right in here. Are you enjoying this so far? I'm kind of laying out what's going on in our humanity right now. We have our government. Now, how far should I go into this? You know, it's kind of like we don't talk about this around the table anymore because it is too tense. It is something that divides us, but it deeply impacts us, our political culture here in this country, but it's also all over the world. Let me just, some of my thoughts here are looking at how human life has been so dramatically devalued around the globe. It hurts our Father's heart. And I can't recall a time when God's design for man, for woman, for family has been under such radical attack as in our day and time right now. This is a big shift. We live in a time where truth is openly declared as lies, and lies are actually received as truth. We see this in Scripture, but it's happening right now in our culture. And evil is presented as good, and good is presented as evil. It's twisting around. And the most egregious of all of this is the most innocent among us are not valued or protected. Over 50 million preborn lives are aborted every single year around the globe, as I mentioned here. That's like this, as I'm talking. How does that impact you? Most people don't think about this. In our world, it is just accepted. People believe these things. They're being told lies, and they believe these things. And our broadcasting with our media, just they enthusiastically present it as the way it is. And so we gather this morning carrying all of this with us into this room. And who knows what is going on with that person right next to you right now? And how much of this they carry? Sometimes as men, we don't talk about stuff. We just hold it in, right? We just don't talk about these things. That's not very healthy, by the way. I don't know if anybody's told you, but at some point, it's going to backfire on you. So talk to somebody about this. Primarily the Lord, at least. Talk to him about it, because you can't stuff this stuff. We're gathering here for a purpose and for a reason. And we all come in, and I don't think we should try to hide this stuff, because sometimes we want to be so spiritual that we don't have any problems. That's not healthy either. We do carry stuff. And the Lord knows this. And so as I was preparing to come and be with you this morning, because I love you, I love this fellowship, I love what's going on here, the Lord put this on my heart to come to you with this passage. And it's the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he understands where you are this morning. He knows every single detail of your heart. He knows all of the burden that you carry, all of the anxiety that you carry. He knows it. And in Scripture, he clearly invites you. And he says in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Question is, are these just words? We're all familiar with them. Are they just words? We've heard them many, many times. Are they just words? Or is there power and transformational truth in these words? Is there? Do you believe that? Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, even from all of the politics, even from all the relational stuff going on. What would life be like if we responded to Jesus and his invitation every morning, throughout the day, and as we lay our head on our pillow at night, and it's the last thing that we say, "Yes, Lord, I'm responding to your invitation. I'm coming to you." We have an amazing Savior. He knows us, right? He knows what's going on, all that stuff. He knows it. And still, he says, "Come to me." Amen. He wants us. He loves us. The rest of that passage is, I want to read this whole thing, 28 through 30. "Come to me. Come to me." I love that. Come. That word "come" is an amazing word. Isn't it? It's so invitational. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This passage is classic as it reflects who our Lord and Savior is. But how much time do we spend really walking it out and believing it? This means a lot to me in this day, because as I think of this whole gathering in Malta, I'm going... this is not humanly possible. How's it going to happen? What's the Lord saying to me? Come to me. I got this, Kurt. Come to me. Well, Lord, yeah. How will all nations, 198 nations, come and meet in Malta? How's that going to happen? Come to me, Kurt. Come to me. I'm calling them to Malta, not you. Come to me. I've got this. Amazing invitation. So let's take a closer look at this marvelous, marvelous passage. When Jesus calls us to come and follow him, I think it's almost to come and be his disciple. He is always inviting us into the path that he is already walking. He's already gone before you. And whatever you are going through right now today at this moment, he's already gone before you. And so here is his invitation. He's in front of you already. He's already gone through it. He said, come, follow me. I'm going to guide you through this. He will continue to walk faithfully. And then it's our choice. Will we choose to follow him and respond to this invitation? When we choose to do that, we are actually like John the Baptist in John 3:30. He says, I must decrease, he must increase. And so when we say, yes, Lord, when you invite me to come and follow you, I'm actually saying, I'm going to decrease here and you're going to increase. I'm going to let go of my stuff. I'm going to die to myself. I'm going to trade all that I have in and just cash it in and go with you. You're making me new right now. So that's what it means when we respond to that invitation. Come means to let go of and go to. It's like repentance almost. When we repent, we turn from something to something. We turn from sin to our Savior. That's all packed in this simple invitation of come to me. It is letting go of all of that and trusting him with it all. Second part of this verse is, all you who are weary and burdened. He talks about his yoke being easy and his burden is light. The people he's talking to here were being heavily burdened by the Pharisees and all the religious rules and regulations they were trying to fulfill, and they couldn't, and they felt like failures all the time. Jesus answers all of that. He says, come to me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light, and I will give you rest. Rest is our divine promise. How many feel rested this morning? A couple people, that's good. I just want you to note that most people did not raise their hand. How many are on that rat race? It's going, it's going, it's going. It is way too much, isn't it? It's too much. I was recognizing recently that the millennials are deciding to get rid of their, smartphones? And get the old flip phones back. That phone that I carry with me, that smartphone, drives me nuts. It's too much. It's too much. We need to learn to rest. The only place that can be done is in him. Without our Jesus rest, we begin to lean in ourselves, our own ways, our own strengths, and we move away from Jesus, and we're driving our bodies and minds into exhaustion. He has a different way for us. Sometimes when we get so weary, it's hard to understand this because we say, I'm already saved. I've already come to Jesus, but I'm still exhausted. When we're in this state of mind, we might be trying to do stuff on our own power too much. And so, take a big breath and say, okay, Lord, teach me how to come to you. Teach me how to do this. And there's just a couple of freedoms I want to mention right here when we actually do this. Because Jesus is doing all this because he wants to set us free. He wants to set us into a different place where we can actually experience rest. The first thing I recognize in my own life is that when I come to him and I respond to him here and I give my burdens over to him, he frees me from the entanglements of this world. And that is numerous. There's no end to the entanglements of this world. We get caught into everything, all of the expectations, all the things that people put on us. And like these believers back then where this passage was written to them, they saw no end to it. They couldn't possibly meet up to all those expectations. It was endless. All kinds of entanglements, occupationally, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, relationally. And Jesus says, come to me in the middle of all of that. And he offers freedom from those entanglements. Don't you want that freedom? This world, if you haven't noticed, has a whole different message for us. Don't you want freedom from that? He offers that. Here's the next freedom that I've noticed. Freedom from self. Anybody want that one? We create stuff. It's amazing what we create. And self gets in the way of a lot of what God has in mind for us. Have you ever had anybody come to you and say, we need to have a come to Jesus moment? You're laughing because you probably have experienced that, right? Or you're the person who goes to another person and says, we need to have a come to Jesus moment here. What are we saying when we say that statement? Come to Jesus moment. What is that? What are we usually saying? Something needs to change. And Jesus is the only one that can bring about that change. It's a real thing. Some of us think too poorly of ourselves. Anybody else besides me here? Somebody in this room also thinks too highly of themselves. That guy right over here, I can tell he's nodding his head. We are in this place, aren't we, where we think too highly, too low. What's the remedy for this? What is it? Come to me. It's too simple, isn't it? It's just way too simple, but yet profound. Transforming lives continually. The last thing I'm going to mention about freedom is a freedom. I love this one. To wholeheartedly follow the Lord. When you give it up and you respond to come to me, he frees us to have a heart that's all in for him. Anybody else want this one besides me? Wholehearted for Jesus. Pastor Mark, a whole church, every single person, wholeheartedly following Jesus. What do you think about that?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Yeah. Aren't we on that path? I'm hoping we all are on that path, and we're choosing that way to go. The only way to do that is to respond to this invitation, come to me. And he'll show us how to do that. Boy, I long for that. So, wrapping it up here. The invitation, come to me. There's many invitations in Scripture too, by the way. I love the one in John 21 where Jesus is on the shoreline. He's talking to the disciples out fishing and he says, come, have breakfast. Jesus is that way. That's our Lord and our Savior. He's always inviting us to him. Here's the deal. when you respond to him and you come to him and you look in his eyes, there is no chance for you to survive in the old self. And there's a high probability that a massive transformation is going to take place in your life, and everybody around you is going to see it. Why? Because of who he is. That's how great he is. That's what he's after. He wants everybody in this room, everybody online, all of us, all in, wholehearted for him. If that takes place, transformation will just kind of massively ripple throughout the entire community, into the whole world, and people will be coming to him. Just like what happened at camp. I love this. Doesn't it give you purpose and meaning? So all of that you carry, health issues, relational issues, financial issues, political issues, all of those things that you're carrying this morning, he knows. He knows it all, and he has a way through it all. He has a way. Let me just end with this story. It's a different kind of story altogether. I just love it, though. I'm going to tell you it anyway. So how does it relate to all that we're talking about? It relates to the invitation of coming to Jesus. Come to me. So I'm going to bring you to another part of the world briefly. I'm going to bring you into a part of the world where there is never been a gathering like this, because you will be beheaded. So people don't do it. They like to keep their heads on. And so this friend of mine, while he was in university, was studying to be a medical doctor. And he was a devout Muslim. But he had a mind that kept asking questions. And I think the questions, I believe in my heart, were the very same words that I read to you this morning. Come to me. I think those words prompted his questions. They were from the Lord. They were from Jesus in his heart. And he started asking questions. And so when the imam started presenting in his preaching some things that didn't make sense to my friend, he started asking questions. Wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. But what do I do with that? He had no clue what to do with that. All of a sudden, a Bible shows up in his house. He didn't know how it got there. But he won't touch it because he's told it's corrupt at the core. And as a devout Muslim, you're not going to touch corruption. You're not going to come near it. So he wouldn't touch it. Lo and behold, a day came where it was open. And he looked at it, and he goes, it's in the Old Testament. Oh, interesting. That's familiar language. But it does not impact me. I know all this stuff. He started paging through. He lands in the book of Luke. He starts reading every single word in Luke. His conclusion is, this is not corrupt. This is holy. He's caught. He goes, what do I do with this? I cannot deny this truth. What am I supposed to do? And then another prompting came in his mind. Come to me. Come, follow. And it led to a village. And so he leaves the city And he's trying to follow where he's thinking he's supposed to go, to this village. This all sounds really mystical, doesn't it? But this is the Holy Spirit. This is our Lord Jesus Christ offering this invitation to someone who doesn't know him yet in a world where it's prohibited to know him. He ends up in this village, and he's standing in the middle of this village. Okay, now what? Go to this building. Are you getting a sense of the calling of come to me? What's going on in this person's life? Come to me. And he gets to this building, he knocks on a door, and a young man opens it up. And the young man says, well, hello, what are you looking for? He says, he didn't know what to say. And the young man said, you're looking for a church. And the guy goes, yes. And he comes in, he hears the book of Luke being preached, and he accepts Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Then he decides to bring the book of Luke. He found a bunch of them in the short versions, just the book of Luke, got them somehow. He starts distributing them at that university. And his friends are coming to him, your head's going to be on a stake, stop! I'll shorten the story. He's a doctor today. He's a pastor. And over 20,000 believers as a result of all of this. You see what happens when we respond to the invitation? God works powerfully. I was watching a video here this past week, and I saw this autistic young man solve a Rubik's Cube in 3 seconds. Was that a mistake in the video? How did they do that? That was so fast. Solving a problem like that. That's maybe a reflection of how good our Lord is, actually. You think he's faster than that? I think the Lord even had that solved before the guy even started 3 seconds earlier. That's our Lord. That's our Savior. When he says, come to me, I've got it. I've got this. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? That's his word for you this morning. If you'd like any kind of prayer afterwards, I'm going to be up here. I'd love to pray with you. I mean, some of our pastors and elders will be here as well, or deacons. What do you call them here?
Guys.
Guys, just the guys. Somebody, prayer warriors. So let's close in prayer. Jesus, we come to you and ask for your great rest and peace. I pray over everyone here this morning, Lord, that the gift of rest will come from all of this craziness in our life. I pray you lift the burden of doing off of our shoulders. Take away that drive to strive. Allow us to sit in your presence and let you do the work. I pray that you continue to mold us into your image, instilling in us this restful spirit. Let us radiate your peace onto others, even in the midst of tremendous challenge. Teach us how to walk down this path with you of rest. We need it so much. I pray this blessing on each person here and each person listening online. Holy Spirit, come and do your good and perfect work in their life. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.